Jonathan, back to the chupacabra. I guess what was fascinating is there's no question, and even though you're going to tell us about this new creature, possibly, the fact that people were witnessing something over all these years, I guess you have to assume something's happening, right? They're not making it up. They're not seeing this.
Oh, of course. There are far too many reports to ignore them. I mean, there are some unknown animals which are only known from one or two very obscure references, but the chupacabra has been encountered by so many thousands of people. There's obviously something going on. Now, the thing I find particularly interesting is that the it's a well-known image of the chupacabra, the semi-bipedal creature of the spine that's on its back, was first reported from the town of Canovanas in Puerto Rico in 1994. But that image then very quickly spread across the world. And whereas the first sighting, like I said, were in 1994 in Puerto Rico, within the next two or three years, similar creatures were being reported from all the way across Latin America, from as far south as Argentina, to all over the Spanish-speaking parts of the States as well. I mean, there have been sightings as far north as, far north as northern Arizona and northern Texas. And to me, it was obvious that one flesh-and-blood creature couldn't sort of come out of nowhere and spread all across such a large geographic area. So I started off my researches actually in Puerto Rico itself back in 1998, and I interviewed a lot of different people who'd either seen this creature or who'd had attacks on domestic livestock. But it wasn't until I went back 3 years ago that the whole thing began to start making sense. Now, I was in Canovanas, and on my first trip, I'd made friends with Ishmael Aguayo, who I was telling you about, who is a fantastic researcher, wonderful guy. And when I went back last time, I met up with him again. But it turned out that the killings, at least there in the Canovanas, the pure killings that had been described as being by the chupacabra, had fizzled out. It stopped in the late 90s. But the sightings of the spiky-backed creature continued. Now, for the first time when I was there, I actually saw some very close-up photographs of the killings, and people had told me before about attacks on goats in Canovanas, and I had assumed that just like in England anyway, that goats were quite large creatures.
No, they're not. They're little.
They're not. The ones in Puerto Rico are tiny. They are really, really small creatures. The goats in England are the same size as a sheep. They're the size of a large dog. The goats that I saw in Canovanas, including the goats of two farmers that actually had attacks on their flocks, were really, really small.
They're like lambs almost, aren't they?
Yeah, they're tiny little things. And then one of the farmers who'd had a series of attacks on his livestock showed me some photographs. And they'd always told me, you know, there's been either puncture marks in the neck or there's been a triangular hole in the skull, where the brains had been eaten.
Huh.
And when they showed me these photographs, I finally realized what had done the killings. I'm not saying what had done every killing all the way across South America, bits of North America and the Caribbean, but what had done those particular killings in Canovanas. Because I've investigated animals all over the world, and there's no doubt about it. These diagnostic triangular holes in the skull with the brains being eaten are done by an animal called a mongoose.
The mongoose, of course, we've heard about. So mongoose is what, in India, in Pakistan, they used to use to attack cobras, right?
Yep. And they were introduced into Puerto Rico and various other islands of the Caribbean, and then in about 1880, 1900, in order to keep down rats.
Okay.
Now,
go ahead.
That doesn't explain the sightings of the weird spiky-backed creature.
Right.
Now, One other thing, but, you know, it does explain some of the killing. It doesn't explain the weird. It doesn't explain the weird stuff.
Let's get into the weird in a moment, but with the mongoose, how does it make that triangular shape, and why does it go for the brains?
It just likes to eat them. In the same way as I like to eat chocolate, the mongoose likes to eat the brains.
All right.
But then I discovered, because while I was there, there'd been an explosion in the rat population in about 1990, and all small carnivores, their populations expand depending on how much food there is for them. So I'm just hypothesizing that there was an expansion in the mongoose population in the early 90s. When they wiped out, when they'd eaten most of the rats, they then turned to domestic livestock. But it doesn't explain the spiky creature, and it also doesn't explain the fact that the spiky creature is still being seen today. So then I was up in one of the hill farms, and I was talking to a pair of banana farmers, because as I'm sure you know, in Puerto Rico, bananas and plantains are one of the biggest and most important cash crops. And this farmer was telling me that it was really strange, although he'd had attacks on his livestock back in 1997, 1998, he hadn't had any attacks since, but something had been attacking his banana trees. Now, when I was a little boy in Hong Kong, I remember a friend of my late father's was the chief of police in Hong Kong, and we used to go and visit him, oh, I don't know, three or four times a year. And he was a keen gardener, and he had banana trees in his garden. And I remember one day, oh, this was in about 1967, 68, 40 years ago, he was furiously angry because something had destroyed his banana trees. And he set out traps for it, and nothing had come. And then back in those days, because he was the chief of police, he could do all sorts of things he probably shouldn't have done. And he set two policemen out with rifles to guard his last banana tree, and they shot a porcupine. Now, in North America, the porcupines have fairly short spines, and they live in trees. But in the old world, in Africa and Asia, porcupines are larger. They have much longer spikes on their backs, not on their sides, and they live on the ground. And some of them will walk half upright. Now, there's a heck of a big change between, there's a hell of a gap, evolutionary gap between the North American porcupines, the old world porcupines, and the new world porcupines. But it turns out there's one animal that was only known from one skeleton, one subfossil skeleton. It was probably about 2,000 years old. It's only known from one specimen. It looks like and appeared to be exactly the same as one of the old world porcupines. And it was found in a cave in Puerto Rico in the 1920s. And nobody knows what it actually looked like, but its skeleton, or the bits of the skeleton they found, was similar enough to one of the old world porcupines used to walk on their hind legs to make me think, I wonder if there's a type of very, 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 very strange porcupine that is the same as the ones you get in the old world, but somehow turned up in the new world.
With maybe a different kind of spiny back.
With another sort of spiny back. Now, the thing that makes this sound interesting is that up until very recently, everybody thought that in Puerto Rico, like most of the Caribbean, was an island that broke off the main continent of South America millions of years ago and just drifted out into the Caribbean. But there's some evidence that it's actually not the case. It's something called a microcontinent. And it actually, just like South America and North America, it broke off from North Africa X million years ago and drifted independently across the Atlantic. So I'm just wondering if there's any possibility that it's a relation to some of the porcupines you still find in West Africa now.